Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. How about you?
I'm good.
Your lawn doesn't need any rain or any...
Any more water?
Any more moisture, I don't think.
Yeah, I think...
It's looking good
and
green.
I kept my sprinkler on still. It's funny how many times I've caught it raining and I left the sprinkler on.
I know. Or the irrigation system.
Yeah, the irrigation system. Yeah, I don't manually turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just too much work for me to figure that out. So.
All right. So, good show today. We're going to... Listen, we've got lots of questions. We're almost halfway through the year. There's been lots happened in just the last 2 weeks, and lots of questions about where this market's going and why, what's driving it, and what are the, you know, what's keeping people awake at night, or what should we be worried about? What derails this
thing? Is there going to be a recession?
Right, and we're going to talk to Benjamin Tall about that and try to get some perspective and sense of what the heck is going on here. What can we, you know, what can we expect between the United States and China coming up? You might be surprised. You want to stick around for that.
And then we've got an interesting conversation to have about if your parents are ill and they need you to help them financially, can that derail your retirement?
Well,
that's going to be an interesting conversation to have.
It's a terrific question and one that I've faced all week this week. So very interesting sense of perspective on that.
Okay, can I bring something up with you?
I'd love you to bring this up. I know what you're going
to
bring up.
You know, because I teased it to you before
you
we started.
Did. Yeah.
When you enter retirement, you end up being a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And here's what, this came off of a Forbes magazine article. Many individuals approaching or living in retirement are living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is societal pressure,
mm-hmm.
where people have been saying to you, how old are you? I'm 65. You should retire. Right. Why are you working?
Right.
They look at work as a bad thing, and they look at leisure as a good thing.
So you're saying that they may lie to themselves about why they're retiring?
Yeah, it's time.
Or why they need to retire.
I need to retire.
Okay.
I'm 65.
Okay.
I get my old age security. That must mean I'm old.
Okay.
So I have to retire.
All right.
And so there's a pressure within society here in the Western world that says if you're 65... that's a retirement age. Mm-hmm. And so there's pressure for people to lie to themselves saying, well, I'm turning 65 now. Maybe I should retire. And then they come to us and they have a conversation and we go on our boards, on our walls and start writing up ideas of how they can retire. The conversation sometimes goes into the mathematical side of things,
right,
but not the why do you want to retire?
Right. But can I stray onto the mathematical side for a minute?
Sure.
Because there's some lying going on there too.
Okay. Talk to me.
I'm not thinking in the last week, but I am thinking over the sort of the past 6 months. And there's a common theme of people that we talk to with respect to a second opinion. Mm-hmm. And one of the lies sometimes told is, you know, whispered, I haven't been totally honest with my partner about our financial situation. So here's a scenario where often one of the partners is ultimately responsible for the money.
The day-to-day of investment decisions.
Right.
Financial planning and all that.
Maybe it hasn't quite worked out the way it's supposed to work out.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to tell that other person.
Yeah. Faisal, can you tell my partner that we're not in good shape? Or it wasn't done as well as we thought it was.
Right.
Right. It may not be a bad situation.
Right.
It just could have been better. And now I'm responsible because I said I'll take on that role in the family.
Right.
And oops. It's not going the way I thought it was. You take it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on you, man. Right?
And I find there's two different groups of people.
Right.
There are individuals who had to do it themselves. So I call them do-it-yourself investors. Mm-hmm. They come to me in my meetings and have said, okay, I haven't done it right. So now you take care of the responsibility.
Right.
So they're outsourcing the responsibility. Then there are others who have had a long-term or a previous relationship with an advisor,
mm-hmm.
they come to us and talk about retirement and their goals and objectives in retirement, their ambition or purpose when it comes to retirement. And they're saying, my previous advisor messed everything up.
Right.
And so I ask the question, what did you hire your previous advisor for?
Right.
Well, we just talk about stocks. And so we're not talking about these other things. We're not talking about taxes. We're not talking about retirement planning. We're not talking about healthcare and the cost of healthcare or how do I pass my assets on to, and we're not having those discussions.
Right.
We're just talking about stocks And he hasn't done that great. There's nothing great that he's done or she's done. And now I want a change. And so they're upset or they're blaming the previous advisor.
Liar.
Because of no retirement plan. Wow. No retirement plan has been done. So you yelled out liar. Tell me your thoughts. What do you mean by when you say
liar? No, I'm not actually saying it.
You're just calling me a liar.
No, I'm not calling you a liar.
Okay.
That's one of the things we lie about. So in this particular case, it was a lack of accountability. I know the case you're referring to, a lack of accountability to actually educate or let the advisor know that my goals and objectives have changed. Now, I could argue easily that the advisor should identify that as be asking about that. But there's an accountability issue.
But there's the problem that I have with our industry.
Yeah.
The average investor believes that any advisor and every advisor does the exact same thing.
No, for sure.
That there's no such thing as a specialist.
Yeah, we get that all the time. Well, this is a Wood Gundy thing. No. There's a whole bunch of different people doing different things. Right?
Yeah.
Inside firms.
Yes. And there's so the terminology of investment advisor,
right,
financial planner, portfolio manager,
right,
does not give you clarity on what that person does every single day in their job.
Correct.
And so because we just can't make up titles,
right,
and we can't just talk about whatever we want to talk about, there's a regulatory requirement, right, behind this about our titles.
Right.
When they sit down with an investment advisor, they assume that all investment advisors do the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
And this is where I think we need to educate the average person out there and say, ask your advisor what's their specialty.
Right.
And if they say their specialty is being a general practitioner,
yeah,
then you have to be comfortable that you're in a general practitioner's practice.
Right.
If you have a specialty and you can explain it and that your client doesn't want that specialty,
right,
then they need to look for another advisor.
Yeah.
You see, the problem...
In fact, I would argue it's the advisor's responsibility to help you do that.
Correct. Now, that assumes that the advisor knows what their specialty is,
no,
right? So I think what I'd like to see more and more Canadians do is actually sit down with their advisor and say, what are you really good at? What's your specialty? What do you wake up every morning to drive to your office to do?
Yeah.
And if they say whatever, let's say they just pick stocks,
yep,
and that's not your number one priority.
Right.
Because your number one priority is, I want to retire. I want to make sure I'm protected.
I need income and
I have all these other issues besides just investments.
Yeah.
Then you need to find another guy or gal.
Yeah. No, for sure.
You know?
Okay, let's go back to, so there's retirement, just by its very nature, we started this with a shocking statement about lying.
Liar.
Right? and so let's reverse that because there's... as you make this transition, we often talk about it to transition to the next stage of your life,
yep,
because people define it differently. Then we've got to be honest about what that transition is. If there's more than one of you, if you're a couple, right, yep, there has to be a level of communication about the responsibilities, the goals, and what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, there's got to be communication and transparency of what's happening.
Right.
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 And also people sometimes, mm-hmm, lie about their lifestyle,
because
they're trying to either keep up with the Joneses,
yeah,
so they end up spending more so they can show off. Part of the problem in retirement is it's like the what did you accomplish through your life is what you're doing in retirement.
Well, it's the Facebook thing, right? You go on Facebook and you'll see somebody's retirement, which is a bunch of doctored pictures and it looks fantastic. You go, how come I don't have that?
Yeah, because you don't have Photoshop. That's why.
Yeah, that's the lie.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, you're lying about your lifestyle,
right,
or you're trying to portray a lifestyle that isn't necessarily you.
Right. And or so, you're retiring for reasons that aren't yours.
Correct.
You're lying about why you're making the transition.
Correct. So we get, you know, when we have the conversation of what your lifestyle is and they say, I'm going to travel, I'm going to do all this fun stuff. And it's all, you know, dreams and all that.
Yeah.
And then they come and we start working through the numbers and they go, I have a modest lifestyle, Faisal. Well,
this is interesting. This is perspective.
My modest lifestyle per month after tax in my jeans, I'm making up a number here, $10,000 a month.
Right.
And so when they say modest, I start to think, what world are they coming from?
Right.
Because in some people's worlds, you talk to Bill Gates, $10,000 a month.
He starves to death.
He starves to death, right? But when you talk to the average Canadian who spends $5,000 before tax,
right,
that's the average couple.
Right.
And this couple is now spending $10,000 after tax.
In retirement.
In retirement.
Right.
They're not living a modest lifestyle.
Right. And just to be clear, we're not saying don't live the lifestyle you want. It's just have perspective. When you, it's difficult to use the word modest and $10,000 a month.
And when you have that, when you have that reference point, then you can determine what's really important to you.
Right.
Because some people say, "I want that $10,000 a month lifestyle," and they go and they look at their numbers, and they may not be able to reach that lifestyle, but that wasn't their lifestyle to begin with.
Right.
So what do you have to do? Right. So this is where, when you're sitting down with an individual or a team of specialists, how do you put all this together so you don't have to lie to your partner?
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, you don't have to lie to yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. And a terrific point. Listen, we're going to have to decode all of that and put together and help people put together plans, because these are common challenges, right? And we're doing that at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, we're going to decode this, like you said, on Tuesday, July 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call at 966-8400 or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You're worried we're going into a recession? Stick around. We'll discuss that after the break. Here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.